Blog Talk Radio.
A little less conversation, a little more action, please. All this aggravation ain't satisfaction in me. A little more bite, a little less bark, a little less fight, a little more spark. Close your mouth and open up your heart, and maybe satisfy me. Satisfy me, baby. Maybe close your eyes and listen to the music, dig to the summer breeze. It's a groovy night, and I can show you how to use it. To come along with me and put your mind at ease. Hey! Less conversation, a little more action. All this aggravation ain't satisfaction in me. A little more bite, a little less spark. A little less fight, a little more spark. Close your mouth and open up your heart, and maybe satisfy me. Satisfy me, baby.
Good morning, or good evening, rather, Southern California horse racing fans. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Backstretch Chatter, Southern California's horse racing roundup. Thank you for tuning in. I am Eddie the Hat, and I will be your host for the next half an hour. And again, we are very pleased to have you on board with us. And we are here each and every Sunday evening from 8 p.m. until 8:30 p.m. Pacific time. And we hope to bring you some horse racing information, some upcoming information that is going to be run later on in the week, and all sorts of interesting information for you to keep you, hopefully, supplied with winners. Want to point out today that our free play, which is tweeted out each and every day, was a winner today in the first race. Trust Your Intuition. Came home on top for our buddy Eddie Truman and Martin Pedroza. A little bit disappointed, $4.20 on the Wind Mutual. We thought we were going to get a little bit better price than that, but heck, you know what? We have to take what they give us, and doubling your money, doing a little bit better than that is not bad. So congratulations to Eddie Truman and Miller, Truman, and Wagner, the owners. Of course, again, written by Martin Pedroza. We like to refer to Martin, of course, as you know, as Martini. And I don't need to go into that for longtime listeners here of the show. Folks, we're very privileged and lucky to have with us an up-and-coming star. His name is Mason Davenport, and he's a trainer up in Northern California, and he's with us this evening. And Mason, thank you for taking time out of your evening to join us.
No, thank you for having me. It's great.
And folks, if Mason sounds a little bit younger than I am, you're correct. Because Mason is 18 years old. He just got his trainer's license, although he does have a good foundation with thoroughbred training and working with thoroughbreds. And we look forward to him being in the winner's circle very soon. And he's going to tell us his story. He's going to be with us on the show this evening. And if you want to call in and ask a question, I know most of you are shy and you'd rather email questions, but just in case somebody wants to call in, you may do so. And the number to do that is 213-559-8021. 213-559-8021. Okay, Los Alamitos is in full effect right now, and well, folks, I got to tell you, 12 days is a little short to get used to the surface and the track condition. We told you at the beginning of the week, last week, to take it easy, be conservative. Things have started out fairly formful, though, and we had some nice winners today and earlier in the week as well. So maybe you might want to ratchet things up a little bit on Thursday and give it start making some serious plays. Toes on Ice made a nice return today for Bob Baffert. And Mason, you and I were talking about that earlier. What did you think of of his return today? Did you see that?
Yeah, it's very, very impressive. It was a great race. I didn't see the whole thing, but the time that he did it in was very impressive.
Okay, and folks, Enola Gay, of course, was second today, and she had her undefeated race blemished by Bendable. Certainly no disgrace, and for those of you who know, Enola Gay was sidelined briefly with a minor, I believe it was a elevated blood count. It was kind of like a cold that us humans get. So she might not have been at the top of her game, but she was a very respectable second today in the Evie Johnston stakes race out there at LoSalle. So cut her a little bit of slack and make sure you keep her on your horse-to-watch list when she comes back again. And, of course, we had yesterday, Mason, we had California Chrome Day, which was kind of nice. They proclaimed the city of Cyprus, proclaimed Saturday as the official California Chrome Day. They had the mayor out there, and they gave the proclamation to trainer Art Sherman, and which was kind of nice to see. But, you know, Mason, every time the politicians, you know, they always dip their head into the limelight, and you get to kind of giggle because the mayor of Cyprus was out there, and you could tell she really didn't know a heck of a lot about horse racing, but she was there.
Yeah.
And now, tell me, you're based up where? In Golden Gate, correct?
Yeah, Golden Gate Field, yeah.
So you saw when, before we lost Shared Belief, did you see a lot of him?
No, I actually didn't. We only came up here in March. So, I didn't see a whole lot of Shared Belief.
Okay, yeah, he was a special guy, and it's sad now when they get taken away from us, so, you know, at such a young age.
It's very difficult.
Yeah, and you know what, Mason, I got to tell you, I've been involved with horse racing at a very young age. I was bringing a racing form to school with me when I was in junior high. And I often will kid people and tell them that if I had studied and put as much into my schoolwork as I did horse racing, I probably would be on the Supreme Court today.
It's definitely an affliction.
Yeah, absolutely. So, why don't you tell us, the listeners and everything, how you got your start in horse racing and a little bit about you and what you're doing now, and let everybody know all about you.
All right. Well, my family's always been breeding race horses for all my life. And so I've always been around it and seen it from afar, and I never really got involved with it until lately because I just helped out when I could. I didn't know a whole lot about it up until, I don't know, a year ago. And then, this year there's been things that have gone on, and Well, I was kind of cast into it and had to take over the reins of the horses, so to speak, start training them myself. And, you know, in the latter end of June, we had to move the horses from my sister who was training them, which was unfortunate, but it was good. So I had to take over the reins there and start training them myself, and that's pretty much how I got my start in that. Learned a lot quickly. Best way to learn is, I guess, in the field.
Now, were you were doing a lot of like marketing publicity for your stable, like taking
That was
okay.
That was my role before. I'd take the pictures and I'd upload them onto the Facebook page and.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was my role before, and then, then I got, I guess you could call it a promotion or.
Yeah. I mean, heck, you know, it's, now what, you're 18 years old.
Yeah. 18 in May. So I just turned 18 pretty much. So,
wow.
I don't know. I don't know many trainers that are 18.
No.
So I, no. I think I'm probably one of the younger ones in the U.S.
I would think that. And, you know, when you talk about, Mason, when you talk about kids or young adults that are your age, you certainly don't think of them shouldering the responsibility.
A lot of responsibility to have, and... luckily for me, I've been raised very well, and so I can shoulder the load. It's a lot to handle, though, and it requires long days, and yeah, it's a lot to have at such a young age. But I see it as an opportunity. It's a very good opportunity to have at such a young age because, you know, fostering it from such a young age, you can grow into something very, very, very special. So I see it as an opportunity to become very prolific in the industry.
Oh, absolutely. And now, do you have any trainers up north right now that you kind of look up to that maybe or have taken you under their wing and kind of helping you out, or are you just kind of...
There's a very good friend of mine and someone that I definitely look up to, Mike Lenzini. He's been such a great help for me because he's very experienced, very, very experienced. And so when I was just taking over and learning new things, I would always be asking him questions. And yeah, he was very helpful. Also, I have to give a shout out to Bob Ferris because he did help as well, which was good. It definitely, we're in a sticky spot and he helped us. So yeah, he was a good help as well. So yeah, there's been quite a few people that have helped me along in this journey for me to get my license. Obviously, my mom being so experienced in the industry as well is a major help, having everyone around me just supporting me in getting my license and, just supporting me in general, really.
How was that, getting trainer's license? I mean, because I understand that, you know, it's funny. Mason, I spend a lot of time up in the press box and stuff. Occasionally, I will canter down to the, you know, to the paddock, or you know, if I want to look at a horse up close, or you know, for whatever reason. And you overhear conversations of people, and you know, it's funny. I've got a lot of jockey, you know, acquaintances and friends, and you know, you just sometimes you have to bite your tongue, you know, because you hear these comments, you know, that these people
make.
Oh,
you really
do. You know,
yeah,
they really.
A very interesting place.
Oh hell yes, and but you know, you hear so many people that will be thinking, well, you know, training's not that hard. All you got to do is feed and make sure that the horse has water. And, I want to go over and engage these people and say, you know what?
You have no idea.
You know, it's not worth it. It's not worth
it.
But
no.
What's it like? I mean, you've got, you know, the medication rules that you got to be real careful with, and the, you know, entering the horses, and then on top of all of that, not only do you have to market yourself to get the clients, but you got to keep them happy.
Yes. Yeah. Well, luckily, I'm part owner in all of our horses with my
okay.
mom, so they're just family horses. So she's easy enough to keep happy. But
you know, eventually you're gonna
run
a public stable, correct? Or you just gonna stay private?
Oh no, I definitely want to be a public stable, and so yeah, it will be. I wouldn't say difficult because you just got to keep them happy. It's easy enough. As long as their horses are running well and as long as you're keeping them in good condition, and it shouldn't be too hard. You know,
right.
Obviously, sometimes you have to explain to them why their horse did not win, why their horse did not do this. And some people don't like to just accept the fact that their horse was outrun on the day,
yeah.
which is,
well,
you can't expect to go into the race having the best horse in the race because you just saw it with Enola Gray. 1-5 favorite, beaten. You know, by all imaginability, you would think she would have won, but she did not. So anything can happen in the sport, and that's what makes it so exciting. You can, you know, you see horses like Mind That Bird. They come on, they're not the favorite, but they don't know that. They don't know they're not the favorite, and they put in a brilliant performance on the day. And so they have the industry.
Yeah.
Anything can happen.
And then they
that's for keeping the owner happy.
They come back and they never win another race.
Exactly.
You know, which is what he did. And you're absolutely right. You know, these horses will come on the track and, you know, they're not machines. They might have an ache or
they
might have some
problems. Yeah, they're like humans. We have good days, we have bad days. But when we have a good day, we have a great day. So...
Right,
you know, and
right,
equally
exactly.
when we have a bad day, we have really, really bad days, some of them, unfortunately. You
right.
can prepare them all they can, but they could wake up on the wrong side of the bed.
Right, or the wrong side of the hay, or whatever you want to.
Whatever
right,
you want to call it.
Mason, we're gonna take a time out real quick, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to have the second half of our show, and our guest. This evening is Mason Davenport. He is a trainer up at Golden Gate that just got his trainer's license, and we're expecting really good things from him. And so, folks, this is your cue. Go refresh your beverage of choice, run an errand around the house, and when we come back, we'll have the second half of Backstretch Chatter. And we will return shortly.
Son! Well, now me and Homer Jones and Big John Talley had a big crap game going back in the alley. And I kept rolling them sevens and winning all them pots. My luck was so good I could do no wrong. I just kept on rolling and controlling them bones. Finally, they just threw up their hand and said, when you hot... You hot, I say yeah. When you're hot, you're hot. And when you're not, you're not. Put all the money in and let it roll again. When you're hot, you're hot. La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. When you're hot, you're hot.
Well, now every time I roll them dice, I'd win. And I was just getting ready to roll them again. When I heard something behind me, I turned around and there was a big old car. He said, hello, boys. Then he gave us a grin and said, look like I'm going to have to haul y'all in and keep all that money for evidence. I said, well, son, when you hot, you hot. He said, yeah, when you hot, you hot.
All right, horse racing fans, we're back for the second half of Backstretch Chatter. And thank you for tuning in this evening, whether it be live or archived. And a quick reminder that we're here every Sunday evening from 8 p.m. until 8:30 p.m. Pacific time. And this week we have Mason Davenport, our guest. He is a thoroughbred trainer up at Golden Gate Fields right now. And we're chatting with Mason about how he got his start with horse racing and got involved in the game. And Mason, for your for the people who don't know a heck of a lot about thoroughbreds, maybe if you're learning or if you've been out there, but you just, you know, hey, you know, you just don't pay much attention to what goes on in the back, you know, the backside. What is a typical day for you like? When does it start? And I mean, I know they're hell of a long days.
Oh yeah, yeah. You, yeah. I get up at around 3:30 every morning.
No good
Lord. Yeah, it's tough. I love Mondays. I get to stay up or stay in until 7. But yeah, I wake up at 3:30 every morning, and most mornings, drive around 45 minutes in, and well, I get there, I check them all, make sure they're all good, and I feed them. Then the first lot goes out at 6 a.m. And then your day just spirals out of control from there. It's kind of wonderful, horses.
We had Richie Silverstein on several months ago, and it was funny. He was on with us live from the backside of Santa Anita one morning, and he was chatting with us, and we were going back and forth, and all of a sudden, poor Richie, you could hear his cell phone just blowing up. And finally he said, Eddie, he says, I got to go. Things are really getting out of control here. And it's, you know, I think he hit the nail right on the head. I mean, not that I know anything about running a barn, but just like any self-employed or any business person will tell you, the day can start right, and then all of a sudden the caca hits the fan, so to speak.
Exactly, yeah.
And how many horses do you have in training right now?
I only have 5 right now. I'm looking to
expand.
Well,
that's not bad. I mean,
No, it's not bad. But, definitely looking to expand.
I have often told people, now, I certainly don't have the income to own horses right now, but I've often told people that, you know, no disrespect to Doug O'Neill or Bob Baffert or Richard Baltos or any of these, you know, trainers. I would much rather, I think if I was starting out, would much rather have somebody like yourself train my horses, who I know is going to get hands-on supervision, then give them to a large stable.
Yes, I know what you're saying. Yeah,
you know, no disrespect to the other guys.
No, of course not. But things can fall by the wayside when things are left down to your assistants. You know, you're only as good as your worst staff member, and so
if
you're not completely supervising everything, every step, but you can't do that when you have so many horses. So I know exactly what you're saying. I wouldn't want to have so many horses, you know, 40, 50 horses, you know, it would just be too much. I like to know every single name of my horse. I'd like to know how they're doing. I'd like to watch every single horse that goes out, because you need to know everything you can about the horse so you know where it can win. You know, a lot of talent falls by the wayside. A lot of talent falls through the cracks because it isn't as hands-on, as one-on-one as it could be, because, like I just said, you're only as good as your worst staff member. So
Right. So what – okay, so you've got, what, you said 5, 6 in training right now?
Yeah.
Okay. What are they, babies, or are they horses?
I got an array of horses there. I got 1 2-year-old who I just bought myself at the sale up here. He's very promising. He's so crazy. You just gotta laugh sometimes at some of the stuff he does, because he's just a baby and he acts like a little child. But I got, yeah, 1 2-year-old. I have 1 3-year-old. I have 1 4-year-old, and I have 2 5-year-olds. And
okay.
Yeah, currently, I have no favorites, but the best horse in my barn probably would have to be the one, the homebred, or the favorite horse in the barn. Like I said, I do no favorites, but he's my favorite.
right.
Yeah, he's a homebred, and we brought him over from England. And yeah, he's unraced currently. He's still 3, but he is unraced. But he'll be entered soon enough. He's very, very talented, and yeah, definitely one to watch.
Okay, well, we're going to be watching you, Mason, because, you know, when you have your first winner, I'm going to make sure that I have money on it. And
you'll probably get pretty good odds there.
not to jinx you or to put any pressure on you, because I'll tell you, when I think back at what I was doing when I was 18, it's pretty frightening. To think, the crap that I was doing, and, you look at yourself and you've got a very promising career ahead of you. And I think that's honestly one of the regrets in life that I have, that I didn't go into the thoroughbred industry at a different level. I mean, I'm not saying that I'm disappointed with what I'm doing now, but, have that hands-on to get up in the morning. The smell in the backstretch is just incredible. When I go back to Santa Anita or LaSalle and you walk in the backside to go visit a trainer or watch, see a horse, it's unbelievable. I think you either have it in your blood or you don't.
There's a lot of hustle and bustle, and it's a very busy place. Like someone, you could take as a complete stranger, someone that doesn't know anything about horse racing, put them on the backside, and they'd be terrified. But also at the same time, it's mesmerizing. It's amazing. You see all the walkers, you see them all turning with horses, you see the amount of stuff going on, just everything. Everyone's so busy, everyone's doing something. You have people, they get to work at 6 and the track closes at 10, but there's nonstop through then. It's just nonstop.
Right.
No, you never stop.
The last time I was at Santa Anita, I was walking back and I had a friend with me who had never been back there. And I snuck him in, and he was just like, oh my God, he goes, I can't believe this. And I think he best described it as saying, this is like another world,
It is, it
and
is.
And then 5 minutes, we were going, I think we were going to visit John Sadler. And Larry Benavides, I think that's who we had an appointment with, and we're going back there, and we're just getting ready to come across an intersection, a T-bone of barns, and a loose horse was flying by us, and they just got on the PA and was saying that they had a loose horse in the backside. And the guy looks at me and he says, is that normal? And all I could do was laugh. And I just looked at him and I said, well, what do you think? And he just kind of chuckled. But my friend, you've got a, you're truly blessed. And I wish you all the best. And like I said, we'll keep tabs of you and see how you're doing in the future. And hopefully, you'll be down here, maybe with a horse or two in the future.
Oh, I definitely hope so. The Santa Anita and Del Mar, there's nothing like it.
Yeah, no, that will be awesome.
And Los Alamitos. Can't forget them.
Yeah, I mean, heck, you know, where the heck, you know, the money's just as green no matter where you're at, right?
That's very true, very true.
All right. Well, Mason, I told you the half an hour would go by very quickly. And
you
it
did.
Has, unfortunately.
And it
we
definitely
could probably
has.
We could probably chat another half hour, but we will have you on again soon. And
I'll hold it to
I want to thank you very much for taking time out of your evening to join us and to let everybody know what it is you're up to.
No, thank you, Eddie. It's been great.
All right. And, folks, if you need to get in touch with Mason, you can always email us. Go to our website, send us an email, and we will pass that along to him. And make sure that he gets the information. And who knows? You know, you might be the first owner having your picture taken with him in the winner's circle real soon. And again, we'll be talking to you next Sunday from 8 to 8:30. Until then, we hope to see you in the cashier's line often. Good luck to you this upcoming week at Los Al. And we'll talk to you next week. Good luck, and thanks for joining us.